As our children are making their way back to their seats, let me pray before our scripture and sermon. And when I'm finished praying, Michelle will come and read our scripture this morning. God of eternity, by the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us this day, that as we hear, may we know your truth, and may we live for you faithfully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. This is Abraham in the covenant of circumcision. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into the nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring, and offspring after you throughout their generations, and for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you and the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, happy Father's Day to the fathers in the room, whether you physically have kids or you're a spiritual father to those around you, whether you've coached or done many different things to put your fingerprints on the lives of others. We appreciate all that you have done. When my younger brother and I were growing up, we have some land outside of Clarendon, and I hate to call it a canyon, but when I was little, that's what it felt like. Ravine may be a little better term for it, but we have these indentions in the earth on our land, and my brother and I, we would used to get to go and hike, and there was one point where you come around a curve, and you're at the base of the wall of maybe a canyon. I don't know the right word for it, but and you would look up, and it's probably not more than two stories, but at the base of it, looking up, you felt so small. We would also go camping at Greenbelt Lake, and there were many nights where we would look up at the stars, and the more that you looked at the stars, the more stars there were, and you would just get this feeling of, holy cow, there is so much more out there. And if there is so much out there, and there's so much around us, how small am I really in the grand scheme of things? What is out there? What all has God made in this vastness? I wonder if that's kind of the feeling the psalmist had in Psalm 8 when he wrote, "When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them." And I wonder if maybe Abram had some of those same thoughts when in chapter 15 of Genesis, God tells him to go and look up at the stars and says, if you can count them, count the stars. That will be the number of your descendants. Oftentimes, God uses small things to do big things. Abram had been told by God that he would be the father of nations, but yet he was without a child. He was told that God would be with him, and he had been given all these promises of you will no longer have to be a foreigner, a stranger in the land. You will be given this land. Your descendants will live here. You will have descendants. Many, many promises, but things weren't happening as quickly as many of us would have liked in our own lives. But we read that because Abram believed the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. He didn't understand everything, and maybe that's where some of us are in our faith. We don't understand everything. But if we believe what God has told us, if we believe what he has left behind, his story to us, might we also be counted with Abram as being righteous because we believe? Jesus says in the New Testament, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that's really small if you've never seen a mustard seed. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. You can tell a mountain to move and it will move. Not a lot of faith can do big things. So what if we had big faith? What might God do in us and through us? God will do unexpected things at times to do life-changing things. If we look at the story of God, we see over and over and over, God uses people and things that no one expects him to use, and he does it in such a way that lives are changed, histories are changed, family lines are changed, often for the better. If we look at the beginning of Genesis, we read where God makes everything. He speaks it into existence. He takes the big, and then he goes down to the small. And he creates animals and fish and birds, and he calls them good. And then he creates humanity, and he calls us very good. He creates all of this. It's all his. And out of everything that he could have created, everything that he could have done, he created you and me to be in relationship with you and me. He created Abram, and he chose Abram amongst all the peoples that there were to do something special through. He went from all that there was to something small. And we have this incredible story of God's faithfulness over and over and over. And we also have humanity's unfaithfulness over and over and over. We have an amazing story that's filled with drama, it's filled with intrigue, it's filled with failings, but it's also filled with love and hope. So God comes to Abram, and in the passage that we read today, it says when he was 99 years old, 24 years beforehand, he had been promised a child. 24 years beforehand, he had been told that his descendants would have the land that they're living in. Have you waited for something for 24 years? Some of us aren't even 24 years old, are we? That's a long time to wait for something. That's a long time to be patient and trust God when it's hard to see that God is doing what he promised he would do. 24 years from the time, the promise, to the time Abram was 99 years old and said, this time next year you'll have a child. Sometimes God takes things that are unexpected. A 99-year-old dad. A 90-year-old mom. That makes me tired. I don't know about you. Thinking about getting up in the middle of the night, feeding an infant, getting up and changing diapers. And God takes unexpected things and does life-changing things with them. Are we patient and are we waiting the way that Abram did? When Abram was 74 years old, he was told to leave where he was to go to a place that God would show him. In Abram's day, they believed that gods had boundaries. So there was a god of this city, there's a god of this area, and if you left this city, if you left this area to go to somewhere else, you would be under the authority, under you'd be subjected to the god of that town or that area. But God says, I'm going to send you someplace. I will show it to you later on, and I will be with you. The God who created, and we shouldn't be surprised by this, but the God who created all that there is, he's not bound to a certain place. He's not bound to Ur. He's not bound to Jerusalem. He's not bound to Antioch. He's not bound to Rome. He's not bound to Childress. He's the God of all that there is. He breaks down barriers. He does the unexpected so that things can be more in line with the way he created them to be. He tells Abram that he is going to bless him. He tells him that he's going to provide for him. He's going to make his name great. He's going to give him many descendants so that Abraham could be a great guy, right? No. God does all of this in Abraham's life because he knows that Abraham is going to point back to God. Abram, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you have a lot of descendants. I'm going to give you a land that's going to be yours because you're going to make my name great. And in making my name great, you are going to bless other people. When God does something in our life, it's not specifically for us. It's often for us to be a blessing to other people. But oftentimes we feel like it's just for me. When God does something in my life, it's just for me. And so we try to contain it. We try to hold on to it. Do you remember the old Looney Tune cartoon with the big, was it the Abominable Snowman? And he would catch Bugs Bunny and he would love him and he would pet him and he would call him George. But as he was doing that, he was squeezing the life out of Bugs Bunny. That's what we try to do with the blessings of God. We hold on to it, and we're going to love it, and we're going to keep it, and it's going to be our little pet, but we squeeze the life out of it instead of making it life-giving for someone else. Abraham was blessed so that he would be a blessing to other people. He was blessed so that through him, other people would come into relationship with God. And through that relationship, other people would come into relationship with God. But too often, we're not patient and we fail to wait. What happens to Abram and to Sarai when they're impatient? They try to take things on and they try to manufacture the promise that God gave to them. Abram had a son, but it wasn't with his wife. It was with her servant. And that boy grew up, and then the promise was fulfilled, and Isaac was born. But there was strife between the son that was not of the promise and the son of the promise. Because Abram and Sarai tried to make it happen on their own. What is it that we're trying to do on our own? What is it we're trying to force God's hand to do because we're tired of waiting? We're tired of being patient, and we think God may have forgotten us. God offered a covenant to Abraham. And it seems strange to us if we keep reading, we read about God telling Abram to get several animals to offer as a sacrifice. And it says that he cuts them in half and he lays them down. And then Abram sees this smoking pot and this fire that makes their way through the carcasses of these animals. Seems rather strange. When my grandfather and his family settled into the Clarendon area, he lived outside of town. He farmed some land, and there were several farmers around. And when they loaned something to each other, when they borrowed something, when they came to agreement, they would shake hands. That was binding. That was, you gave your word, you shook, the deal was done. And you wouldn't go back on it. In Abraham's day, for them to make an agreement with each other, often it was kind of this self-sacrificing oath. They would cut these animals in half, and tradition was they would both walk through the carcasses of these animals, and it was them saying, if I go back on my word, if I don't do what I have promised to do, may I be killed the way these animals were killed. Abram kills these animals, splits them in half, lays them down, and traditionally, he would have walked through, God would have walked through, but Abram never walks through. The smoking pot and the fire that are these images of God in Genesis and even into Exodus, it goes through and it makes the covenant without making Abram offer anything. It's saying God is going to be faithful even when we're not. And we read over and over and over where those that have gone before us have not been faithful. And we can probably look back in our own life, in our own histories, where we've not been faithful. But over and over and over, God has been faithful. God has provided. God has been with us. God has done big things with small things. He's created blessings out of curses. He's created good out of things that were meant for evil. God has been with us. And His story should remind us over and over and over that God is faithful even when we're not. But even when we're not, God calls us back. He doesn't say, I'm done with you. He calls us back. Says, let's start over, let's do this again. And maybe let's learn something this time so that we can be more faithful going forward. So this morning, where is it that you need to be patient and you need to wait? You think maybe God's forgotten you, maybe that God isn't going to do what He has promised. Or maybe you're waiting for that big thing to happen, but God's waiting for you to do the small thing so that eventually we can get to the big thing. God has made a covenant not only with Abram, not only with Noah, not only with David, but with us, that He will be faithful to us. Will we be faithful to Him? Let us pray. Father God, there are times in our lives where there's guilt and there's shame, there's temptation and there's sin, and all these things try to push us away from You. But over and over, You reach out to us and You remain faithful to us. In this moment, remind us of Your faithfulness. We ask that You work in us to make us more like You. Work in us to make us whole where we have been broken. Work in us and make us healthy where we have been unhealthy. And through Your work, may we bear Your spiritual fruit. Work in us so that we may spread Your good news, so that we may pass on Your love, Your hope, and even Your forgiveness. That You bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we stand as we affirm.